Hi, my name is Maureen St. Germain, and this is the second class of How to Connect with Your Higher Self. We're going to begin with our opening prayer. Heavenly Father, Mother God, we give thanks for the opportunity to be here. We ask that each of us who are present be connected to the entire angelic realm, the Elohim, sun centers, the ETs of the light, the dolphins and the whales, and all beings of 100% God light. We ask that each of us present are able to move into our heart space and that we tune our awareness to our heart and allow ourselves to remember that connection to the heart. And if you don't have that connection, take a moment and think of a pet or an infant under 2 months old and hear yourself say to this little one, I love you. Say it about 3 times. And as you do, you can feel your heart chakra open. And then you can give that feeling a name. And use that name consistently whenever you ask to open your heart. Now we invite the higher self to move in to the heart. And through that connection between the heart and the higher self, we now ask to plug into the grid and matrix that works with me, that travels with me for this workshop, this event. We ask that each of us be plugged into this grid and matrix through our higher self connection. We ask that each of us be connected to one another at the higher self level that we might serve one another perfectly. We call in the four directions, north, south, east, and west. We call in the energy of the north, the energy of contemplation and rejuvenation. It is the place where we prepare ourselves for change. We call on the energy of the South, the energy of new beginnings and new understandings. The place of rapid growth and abundance and the place of overflowing generosity. We tune to the East, the place of new beginnings and new starts and the place of birth and rebirth. And we call on the energy of the West, the energy of reaping the rewards of our efforts. It is the place where we have found our center and we use it. It is also the place of infinite love and gratitude. We call in the four elements, earth, air, fire, and water. We call in the earth for clarity and grounding and a connection to Mother Earth. We call in the air for expansion and flow and a connection to Father Sky. We call in the fire for passion and compassion, transformation and transmutation. And we call on the water for conductivity and flow and the full penetration of the light of God, the Hagia Sophia. Please make your own intention silently. Okay. We ask for most benevolent outcome for this class and for each of us here. And we ask for a day or an evening of heaven on earth for each of us and everyone we come in contact with. So a couple of things that I want to get into right away, and that has to do with the assignment from last time and the practice, and then we're going to get into some of the more fluid information about this work. So we didn't talk for very long, but a couple of things that I asked, I made very specific requests of her, but I just want you to give me some feedback about the practice and how it's been going and how it's going for you in general.
Okay. So here's the thing. The first few times that I tried it, I felt like I was on a discovery, really, because I wasn't sure how the answers were going to show up. So when I stopped worrying about how they were going to show up, I found that they were coming to me not as a yes or no, but a word or an image that kind of confirmed the yes or no. I thought that was really interesting, and I'll give you an example.
Okay.
Is that okay?
Yes, totally.
Okay. So there was a morning when I was feeling that I didn't want to get started with some work that I was going to do. There was some hesitation around that. I didn't want to use the word I'll tell you what the word was afterwards because that's what came to me, but there was some hesitation, and I said, you know, I asked the higher self if working on some creativity would be of benefit for me right now. And I said to myself, whatever the answer is, that's what I'm going to go with. And so I did not get a yes or a no, but I got a word, and the word was fear. So that word said to me, yes, take your mandala book of fear and work, do the create, you know, use your time working on the mandalas. And I said, excellent, so this is how it's going to come to me. if there's no answer, I take it as being neutral, do whatever you wish. I'm not sure yet what a no is like, but the fact that I've been able to get a response through a word that indicated, well, they're right in front of you, so take the mandala book of fears and work with that, to me was a confirmation, yes, go ahead. And that's how I understood it.
Very good. So our goal here is to get a tangible symbol, signal, word, feeling, sensation.
Mm-hmm.
And Linda had a similar but an interesting experience. And what I want to offer back to you is if you will just ask in silence without, as you say, the expectation or the, you know, the mind wants to know, how is this going to come through,
mm-hmm.
as you have defined. And mm-hmm. my request to you is just to ask for your yes symbol without expectation. So without mm-hmm. having a question in front of you, show me yes, show me no, show me neutral. Without any words in front of you,
mm-hmm.
without any project in front of you. So in other words, we're taking it back maybe below the zero point, so to speak, because we don't even have mm-hmm. a question in front of us. We're just doing a practice. And it kind of reminds me of when a child says, can you show me how to tie my shoes again? So they're asking to show you something. Or if I were, when I'm learning a language, can you tell me how to pronounce that word again? I already know how to pronounce it. I know what that feeling is like, but I'm still not confident in it yet.
Mm-hmm.
And rather than try and judge it, I just ask for the repetition. And that's what I'm asking you to do. So
I see.
It might be that you are also getting some kind of body sensation and you have somehow pushed that back or dismissed it. Because at the very minimum, the second exercise we did, where you mm-hmm. had body sensations, you did get those, right?
Yes, I did.
So what I would also do then is, for some of the people who are so kinesthetic with such a busy mind, let's say, so the mm-hmm. mind runs the show and everything runs through the feeling body that needs to run through the feeling body, and they run independently. And, you know, you lean on one side or you lean on the other, but you don't seem to get those guys to work together. And not that they need to. It's always been okay that way. So what you're doing is allowing the feeling body to convey a mm-hmm. linear message of yes or no. So what I would also suggest to you is if you ask that question like as a blank, you know, show me yes, show me no, show me neutral, if you're not getting anything, then I would back up even further and say, okay, higher self, this is my word, this is my message, my symbol for yes. And then make your whole right side vibrate. This is my symbol for no. Make the whole left side vibrate. And take your time with it. Even though I'm saying it quickly, take your time with it. Now, I think I told you guys the story about my son and his understanding, how he taught me to know his word for cheese, right?
Mm-hmm, yes.
Okay, so this is what you're going to do with your higher self. You're saying, this feeling that I'm able to get to replicate through my body, that's yes. The other side is no, and the middle is neutral. But don't do it that fast, of course. Anyway, that's go ahead.
So what I get from you, Maureen, is to be very patient, to sit there and just wait. Because I can get impatient, and therefore it's like, okay, so it's not coming, it's not working. Okay.
Yeah, okay. And, you know, it's so interesting that you say that. It's not coming and it's not working.
when I say it's not coming, it's because it's not obvious. I don't see it. Of course, there could be some expectations.
Now,
the question is getting the mind out of the way.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Well, I know from raising a family mm-hmm. that even though I'm perhaps an impatient person by nature, you know, being an A-type personality, let's say, a recovering A, as they joke around about, I had to learn, I had to choose to be very, very patient with my children. Mm-hmm. And so I would, like, turn on that patient dial. I would turn it way up when my children would need something.
Mm-hmm.
So this is what you're going to do. You're going to selectively, you look at your behavior, look at your way of thinking and the way of being, and say, that's totally okay. That gets the job done. You mm-hmm. are successful. You get things done because of who you are. But
yeah.
you're now working with what I will say, an aspect of you that has been latent, like a child. Yeah. It's undeveloped.
Mm-hmm.
And even though you have all these other gifts mm-hmm. that are, you know, jumping out at you, what you're doing is unifying. By doing this practice, you are beginning to unify the very mm-hmm. powerful spiritual side of you and the very powerful linear side of you. And that's pretty magical because they're both working very well independently. But you mm-hmm. want them to cross the bridge and talk
exactly.
to each other, because then everything is going to be, like, amazing. Okay, so that's good. So mm-hmm. we now are clear that we're looking at the higher self as if that, you know, the part of you that doesn't have that peace is just undeveloped. It's not like mm-hmm. there's anything wrong. And so it, just like you would treat a child with great patience, you mm-hmm. must look upon this. This is just one little piece of my life that I'm treating with great patience. And
yes.
it's not even like an annoying kind of patience, you know, I have to be patient. No. It's more like you would with a child, where you're like so sweet and gentle
mm-hmm.
like that. Yeah. So that's cool. Yeah. Okay, now switch over to you, Linda, and let me open up your mic. There we go. Okay, so you're open. Now, I made a few notes from our last call. I would like you to share two things. The first thing I want you to share is about your practice. If you were able to practice the blank one, like we were just explaining to Angie, where you did after meditation, show me my yes, show me no, I like that. Did you do that at all?
Yes. But right now I still kind of sure what I get.
Okay, wait a minute. I have not asked either of you to tell me whether you are sure. We are in practice mode, and the whole point is if you are keeping score, if you are evaluating it, then you're not doing the practice.
Mm-hmm.
Because the practice says you're not allowed to keep score.
Mm-hmm.
So if I say to you, have you figured out what you're going to serve for dinner tonight? You might say, well, I looked in the fridge, and I think there's plenty of leftovers, and I'm in good space. You then have the answer, and you're pretty sure what's going to happen. But if I say, do you know what you're going to have for dinner? And you say to your higher self, what am I supposed to have for dinner? And your higher self says, you're going out. Then you don't know what you're going to have for dinner, because right now you don't even know where you're going. So
mm-hmm.
part of what's happening here is when you ask, you're willing to ask about anything.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, you know, as we progress through the practice. But more importantly, you're not allowed to care about whether you got it yet.
Mm-hmm.
So you're focusing on your technique, not
mm-hmm.
your
outcome. Yeah.
Yeah. It's a very different, both of you ladies are very linear. This is very interesting to me. Most men are doing this. And so I'm delighted that I have two women who are doing this, because then if we, you know, let other people listen to this call, the men will get as much benefit out of it as the women, because I, too, was like you guys and was very linear. When it came in, it became abundantly clear to me that I had to really put myself in the place of a person who had a big bin of balls at the basketball court, and I was shooting at the foul line, practicing my foul line shoots, or with a bucket of balls at the golf driving range.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And you're not keeping a score at the driving range. You get a bucket of balls. You don't even know how many balls there are.
Right.
And you just keep swinging until the bucket is empty, and then you give somebody $2 and you go get another bucket of balls.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't really care about the balls that don't go where you want. You're
mm-hmm.
only paying attention to the balls
mm-hmm.
that make it where you want. And
yeah.
so that's where we're at. We're working on our form. Now, the second thing I wanted you to share, Angie, was your story about your brother in China and how you wanted to call him, and you checked in, and you can go
yeah.
ahead and give that story.
Yeah, this is a very, amazing things happened to me at the first. I think just right after we finished the first class, I'm not sure, it's the first class that day or the next day, because my brother is flew back to China. And then at night, in the morning, yeah, in the our time morning is their time is like a night.
Sure.
In the morning, I just wake up and I talk to my higher self. I just start to do the practice, and then this is the things that I want to ask. But I'm not care about the scores like you mentioned. I just like to make fun to practice to see what is happening there. And then I ask my higher self, I said, should I call right now? And maybe that is the 7 o'clock here, and that time is maybe 10 o'clock something. And I feel like I get an answer, because I don't have a physical sense for yes or no, but I feel like a no. And
mm-hmm.
I just wait, and wait for maybe 20 minutes, and I ask, I think I ask 10 minutes, I ask, and then it's not, I think I get no, and then I still wait. Maybe another 10 minutes, I ask again, and I feel like I get yes. And then I called. And then my brother answered the phone. He said, how do you know? I just stayed in the house.
Wow. And, of course, the family joke is, I must be psychic, and sent with such great joy and humor. Now,
yeah.
I will tell you that that's exactly how you're to use it. You didn't have any attachment. You just wanted to check up on him. You just
mm-hmm.
wanted to, make a little contact, like a soft landing there. And
mm-hmm.
so you could feel it, and that's exactly the practice you're doing. And this is what happens on the other side. The outcome that you get proves beyond a shadow of a doubt that your higher self has got the goods. Now,
mm-hmm.
some of the stories that I talked about last time, if you recall, there was a metaphor that I think I gave you with regard to going to the races. And if I am going to the races and I tell you that I've won 5,000 this week, and then the next week I tell you I won 8,000, and the following week I won 4,000, and the week after that I say, would you like to go along? You're going to say, of course. And what
mm-hmm.
are you going to do after I place my bet? You're going to say, I'll take what she's getting. Because you figured that I must know something, and you want to be riding on my parade.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And then, as you remember, we talked a little bit about the ego has done a great job of getting us where we are today.
Mm-hmm.
And the ego is built up by the psyche, by the consciousness, along with the influences of the outer world. And it is your protective mechanism. It's your layer of fat. It's your way of interpreting the reality. And so it uses only historical data. It occasionally will take in data from somebody else, but even their data is always historical.
Mm-hmm.
But after 6 weeks of your higher self giving you yeses, to do this, knows to do that, you begin to notice as an observer, not because you're keeping score, but because it becomes evident by observation. But again, it's not like you're keeping score. There's a quality of like, did you notice everybody in the office was in pink today? Like that. Not, everybody needs to show up in pink, but there's something you notice in passing.
Mm-hmm.
So So what happens is the ego is observing. So even though the ego doesn't care, the ego is observing. And at a certain point, the ego gets it, that the higher self is always right. The higher self often knows things that we don't know. And when we, this uninformed human with just limited database, rely on the resource that's bigger than us in this reality, and we get the benefit of the additional data, what happens is then the ego can acquire the willingness, the eagerness to cooperate with the higher self information. And I like to say that the ego and the higher self become one will, God's will. And that's what I believe happens. Because the ego wants what you want. The ego wants you to be safe. And the ego wants you to have the best deal. Now, years ago, I was talking with a friend of mine who was quite well off, and he had a really nice sports car. And he had decided to get a new one, and his son wanted the one that he was letting go of. And he was kind of complaining in an ironic way how his son got him to sell the car to him for about half what he had expected to sell it for. So let's say he was going to sell the car for $20,000, and he ended up letting his son have it for $10,000. And I said to the man, just think of how proud you would have been of your son if he had gotten that deal from someone else. And he burst out laughing. He said, you're right. And I said, so why is that an issue for you now? And of course, he laughed some more. So it's like the discovery, the ego finally discovers the higher self as a resource. And once that becomes part of your psychology, and it comes because these experiences filter in without judgment, there is no mind looking at it and saying, well, I didn't get that one right. So if you find yourself doing that, stop, back up, and just gently remind yourself, we're not keeping score here. I have to pick different things in. Because if you care so much that you got to keep score, then it's messing you up in the practice. And believe me, as a recovering A, I totally get that. But what you have to do is you have to, again, address this aspect of who you are as the undeveloped child. And you're going to have tenderness and patience. And you're not concerned how long it takes. I mean, if you're working with a child, let's say it's your responsibility to look after a child for a two-week period, and during that two-week period they're ready to learn to tie their shoes, you don't keep track of how many times you showed them. You don't tell the parent involved, you know, I showed them another 10 times. You wouldn't even think of reporting that. And that's how you want to be. You want to be so gentle with yourself that it doesn't matter. Now, I want to talk a little bit about the differences between what a lot of people will tell you about the higher self and what I know to be true in terms of my spiritual connection and my direct connection. The higher self is separate from everything else. It is not your guide. It is not your angel. And it is not your grandmother who's helping you. All of those beings are still there, but this higher self connection is actually you, but it's the version of you that's fully plugged into God, so much so that it has access to a grander version of the reality that you can hold on to right now. So let's back up and say, what is that like? When you tell a child about sex education and how babies are formed, you basically start out by saying, well, there's a baby growing in mommy's tummy or something like that. You don't get into the details of how the baby got there. You don't get into the details of procreation. You just start with something that a child can grasp because it's, you know, the mommy's tummy is growing and it definitely is big. So it's something you can wrap your arms around. I don't know about you guys, but I want you to think back when you were given some information about the understanding that we have of our bodies and how we procreate and how we make love, and think back about the shock factor. And at some point in that, in the conveyance of some of that information, there was like, oh my goodness, that shock that you felt.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the reasons why we have this barrier is because we can't handle all that information. So we deliberately put this barrier in place. The barrier does a couple of things. It allows us to take our time in creating. It allows us to savor the moment. And it allows us to have tremendous free will. Because the more we feel the energy of God, the more connected we are to God, the more we see the choices as only
mm-hmm.
God choices. So the attraction to that, those choices that aren't pleasing, they don't have a pull
mm-hmm.
on us at all.
Mm-hmm.
From the higher self vantage point, there is no right or wrong. So from the vantage point of the higher self, you don't ask, what is the right way to go? Because there is no right way to go. They're all right. Including the wrong way, it's still right. So you have to ask the question in a very precise way. Higher self, is it in my highest and best good? Blah, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm.
Or, I need to get to the airport in the least amount of time. Do I take Highway 89 or do I take Route 50? And so your higher self will, like, you know, put neon lights around Highway 89 and 50 just won't jump out at you at all, and it's very obvious. But it's not because it's the right way to go. And so one of the things that starts to happen as you connect more and more with your higher self is that terminology, right and wrong, falls away from your vocabulary.
Mm-hmm.
It falls away from your reasoning, and you begin to understand. At one point, a number of my students who had been to a number of my classes started teasing me and, like a comedian would, roast you and say, if it pleases you, blah, blah, blah. And it was very obvious that they were mocking me in a very fun way, because
mm-hmm.
I wouldn't say this is the right thing to do. I would say, does this please you? How does it feel?
Mm-hmm.
And so we moved to that feeling energy rather than, is this the right thing to do or the wrong thing to do? Because the feeling will drive you to the thing that is in most energetic of a match. Now, your higher self is not a parent. It is not like a parent. And that's one of the biggest mistakes people make. Now, did we talk about this last time?
No.
Okay, so let's get into this. A lot of people think their higher self is the greater part of themselves.
Mm-hmm.
In a forest, I'm the little tree, and the great big tree is my higher self. Now, the problem with that thinking is that if the higher self is outside of the range of the free will zone, that life is easier than that where you have choice, where you get to create stuff, where you have to deal with other people's free will and their creation. One of the most important things you must begin to realize is that right here, where we are at, is the center of the universe. And that our higher self is so plugged into God that the not-God choice isn't really useful. Now, I gave you the metaphor about having someone as a house guest, right?
Mm-hmm.
You understand that if someone you admired was your house guest, and you had that chance, the answer is only yes. And then the other questions are, when are they staying? How many people are coming? What do they like to eat? And all of those answers are all revolving around yes. Your higher self has access to data you don't have, but it is not the boss of you. Here's another metaphor for that. You're the CEO of a corporation. Call the finance guy or gal. Let's make her a lady. And you say to her, I want to write a check for $20,000 to pay back the bank, the balloon payment that's coming up next week. I'm
mm-hmm.
meeting tomorrow for lunch. Can I do that? And your finance person says, yes. Did they give you permission? What do you think? Both mics are open.
I think so.
And Linda, what do you think?
Yes.
Well, the answer is no.
Oh,
here's
wow.
Why. They did not give you permission because you're the CEO. You're the only one who has permission. You're the only one who has authority. She simply gave you information that the funds would be available. So she may have more information about the details of the checking account on a day-to-day basis, but you're still the person who makes the decision, do I do it now or later?
Got it.
And that's the metaphor that really drives home the point. Yeah, go ahead.
Understood. She didn't ask for permission. She just, she was
looking. You're not asking for permission. What you're asking for is information. So when we ask the higher self something, and this gets deeper into some of the more involved work, when we check in with the higher self and we go through that process, the check-in word isn't to get permission. The check-in is truly like a check-in. You know, like if you have a partner that you live with or a relative that you, you know, tag team with in some way, when you know you're going to be gone for a couple of days and you're not going to be near your phone for some reason, you call and tell them, you know, gee, I'm going to be out of town. I'm not taking my phone, blah, blah, blah. And, you know, I'm good. Don't worry about me. I'll be back on Thursday. And you check in with them. They're not giving you permission. You're just giving the check-in. Yeah, so just remember that the higher self is not like a parent. It simply has, like the Internet, more resources than you have. You know, when you look something up on the Internet, of course the Internet isn't the decider, because in this case, of course, the Internet could give you opposing opinions. In the case of your higher self, you will actually get the answer you seek based upon the question you ask. At this point, I must tell you that you realize that something you've been talking about all your life has finally been driven home. A mutual friend that we had was going to let me drive his BMW while we were in the same city. And his response was obviously he didn't check in. And he was teasing me because he was, you know, making an innuendo that I wasn't a very good driver. And I thought it was terribly funny. And I burst out laughing. And I couldn't get over the humor, not only of him making fun of me in that way, but the fact that he understood how to use the word check in. Exactly how we use it.
That's right.
And it was just a delightful thing to say. And it might even have been true. the friend didn't check in, and it didn't turn out that I got to use the car anyway because some things changed. But it was a very funny experience for me. Go ahead.
Yeah, it makes it clarifies why we check in. We check in. It's beautiful. You were ready to make the check, and you were just checking in that the funds were available. You were going to borrow the car, and there should have been a check-in as to whether that should have happened or not. That's brilliant. Totally brilliant.
And I love telling these stories because it helps all of us remember the true meaning of what we're talking about, because we can talk and talk and talk, and it kind of settles in, and maybe there's a little dust there, and we flick the dust, and all that stuff goes away, but the stories stick. So this is how you remember that your higher self is your ally. Your higher self probably knows more than you, but you're still the CEO. And that's really lovely. You know, even, you know, companies that have high-profile board members, the high-profile board members who know their way around might advise the young CEO what to do or how to do things, but that's all they do is advise. Now, in our case, we know that our higher self has the answer to what we're looking for if we know how to ask the question. And so that's the next piece. How do we manage the question? So the most important thing is to get in the practice of saying higher self. Always address the higher self with the noun higher self. I have found that if I imply higher self, but I don't actually say it, then you can get an imposter. Your ego can jump in, your emotional body, your desire body, whatever. And I can tell you the story of one time when that happened, and I came home quite indignant from a interaction that was a nice time, but it was a big waste of my time. And I stood in front of my altar, and I said to my higher self, what was that all about? That was a big waste of time. And my higher self said, you never asked. And I said, I most certainly did. Oh, no, you asked, and your lower self jumped in. So what is the lower self? You know, the lower self is the ego. The lower self can be your mental body, how you think about things. Your lower self could be your desire body or your emotional body. In my case, it was the desire body that jumped in because this guy was interested in me and I was interested in him. And I had asked, if he asked me out, should I go? And I got a yes, but it didn't say higher self. So from the lower self vantage point, it was true. That was in my best interest. But my higher self knows that I value my time more than I value a fun night with somebody that I'm never going to see again.
Right.
So even if it's the opportunity to be spoiled as a little girl or being treated well, it wasn't a good match for my bigger picture that I care a lot about. And we all do this. You know, we all make choices in the short term versus the long term, and sometimes we are able to make the long term versus the short term. But what happens is when you ask your higher self, the outcome is so profound that if you're willing to follow it 100%, you're going to get everything you want, everything you desire, as well as your ascension. So the motivation is high to get the practice down, so that when you start living by your higher self, you can really go forward. In the early years of teaching this, there were people that would come to me. I had a woman who studied with me in New York and then moved to Paris. A couple of years later, I was teaching in Paris. She found me. She called me by email. She said, I know you're in Paris. Can I buy you a cup of coffee? So we met up in a cafe, and she said, the reason I wanted to see you is because I wanted to thank you. I own a small business. I've made all these decisions based upon me asking my higher self. And when people would say to me, this will never work, I will tell them, well, I think in my case it will, and it works. And then the same people come back to me and say, how did you know it was going to work for you? And she said, they just don't get it when I say I check in.
So it's a powerful relationship.
Most powerful. And the important thing, the most important part of this relationship is the 6 weeks. So for 6 weeks, you're not allowed to care. You're not allowed to keep score. You have to ask things that you don't care about. If you start to care about something, then make a decision and don't ask your higher self. Now, I did send you the 6-7 rules.
Yes.
Did I not?
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
Good. So you have that. Okay, so now let me look at my notes here on the slides.
So I see, Maureen, the 6 weeks is necessary as you get to know each other, if we want to say it.
That's a good way to put it. Because it
to
takes
get to know each
weeks.
Other and build the relationship.
That's right.
Yeah.
It takes 6 weeks to build new DNA. So what you're really doing is resetting your field. You're giving your body a whole reset, and you're taking your time, you're being playful, you're being patient and unattached, and you make it as playful as you can. So, you know, if you're going to go out for ice cream, ask your higher self what flavor to get. And if you're going out to dinner and there's a couple of things on the menu that really appeal to you, ask your higher self. Higher self, am I to do this item? No. Higher self, am I to do this item? No. Now, the way to do that is to maybe put your finger on the food, on the listing. Or if they're numbered, higher self, do I take number one? No. Number five? No. Number six? No. Really? No. Is there something else on this menu I'm supposed to eat at? No. Am I supposed to leave this restaurant? Yes.
Oh,
it gets funny. Yeah, it gets very funny. One time I was in Glacier National Park. I was with three other people who were students. We were all good friends. There were me and another woman and two men. And we had done a beautiful meditation in the park, and we kind of came in from being outside, and we were hot and sweaty and hungry. It was like 1 o'clock in the afternoon. And we felt like we'd done our spiritual work, and now we were ready to, you know, satisfy the body. And there was this nice restaurant that didn't have a lot of people in. It looked like we could get seated right away. That was very exciting. So the men start to march in there. And I said, wait, did anybody check in? And the guys look really sheepish. And they immediately go into their check-in mode. And they both look at each other and say, we're not supposed to eat here. And I nodded, and we go upstairs. Now we go upstairs, and there's these, like, giant windows that are three stories high. And they open up into the gorge so you can see both Lake Louise and all of this beautiful mountain, and then the great big mountain behind the mountain. It's so stunning, it just takes your breath away. There doesn't seem to be any line, and we walk up to the counter. We check in. Are we supposed to eat here? Yes. So then we said, well, let's find how long the wait it is, so, because we figured it had to be a wait. It's so beautiful. And she said, well, actually, it's only a 15-minute wait. We looked at each other. Okay, we can do that. We sat down. It was less than 15 minutes, and we were given the best table in the whole restaurant,
mm-hmm.
because that's the next one that got opened up.
Mm-hmm.
We wouldn't have done that if we hadn't checked in, because we were tired and hungry, and we would have just eaten.
Yes.
I also want to share as a parent how many times I have used my higher self to tell me that everything was okay.
Mm-hmm.
You know, having been a parent of sons, you know, they had a curfew, but sometimes they didn't make curfew. You know, they would
mm-hmm.
have to deal with that. But on more than one occasion, I would ask, are they going to be home on time? No. You know, I'd be like 10:30 or 11, and I'd be tired from a full day of work and getting
mm-hmm.
up early. And I'd want to go to bed, but I didn't want to go to bed if the kids were still out. You know, I was a single parent.
Mm-hmm.
I would ask my higher self, are they okay? Yes. Are they going to be home on time? No. Is it in my highest and best good to go to sleep now? Yes. So then I'd put a note on their pillow, wake me up when you get home. That's pretty cool. One time,
yes.
One of my kids had a terrible fall and had like 15 fractures on his face, went through an MRI, and just all kinds of crazy stuff. I asked my higher self. You know, the doctor said the surgery is kind of, you know, one way or the other, you know, we might be able to fix it, we might not, it might repair itself, you know, it's a bit of a crapshoot. We don't know what to tell you. So I checked in. Is it as high as best good to have the surgery? No. Will it heal on its own? Yes. Do I need to be concerned about it? No. What should I do? Should I give him more rest? Yes. Anything else? You know, and so I would be able to tell. That was pretty amazing.
it is amazing, Maureen. I realize that when you're dealing with some complex issues, you really need to know to have that relationship on the things that are the least important, so that there's a trust factor. You trust the answers that you're getting.
Well, you know, this is a really good segue into the next piece,
mm-hmm.
because it's not about trust. Trust implies there's a possibility that you might be wrong, or that your
mm-hmm.
higher self might be wrong. Now, if I say to you, do you trust that the sun will rise tomorrow morning, or that the sun will set tonight?
Yes.
The answer is, I don't think so. I think you know what's going to happen.
Trust that, yeah.
And if I say to you, the weatherman said it's going to rain, and there's an 80% chance of rain, do you trust that rain's likely?
I trust that it could be different than what they've predicted.
Right. But think about how we use the word trust. You trust
mm-hmm.
your partner. You trust
yes.
your, you know, people you interact with at work or in your social environment, that they will be honest. You trust that they will be honest. But we
yes.
all, for example, have encountered people who are dishonest.
Yes.
So that's trust.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there are other circumstances where you are absolutely certain, you know for a fact, that there is no way a certain person would ever do a certain thing. With
mm-hmm.
absolute certainty, you know this. And that's what I'm talking about. It's not about trust. It's about knowing.
It's about knowing.
Because trust, yeah. Trust still mm-hmm. implies the possibility of making a mistake. And I don't want people to trust their higher self. I want them to know their higher
mm-hmm.
self.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's a huge difference.
Mm. Because like a normal human being, like a normal human being, they don't have this sense like they have a higher self. So when the people, when they know there is a higher self there, so because they don't know, they cannot see, they cannot feel, they cannot touch it. They don't know if it's a real, so maybe that's an issue of a trust.
That's exactly right. Now, think about how many times you or a person has had gut feelings and they either trusted it or they didn't. In either case, it was them choosing to allow that gut feeling to be right and acting on that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like you have a gut feeling that you need to check behind the couch. There's something going on, and you go behind the couch and you realize your only child has stashed a bottle of liquor.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, what drove you to look behind the couch in this exact moment? And that is, you trusted that feeling that came in that showed you that. And so you act on it. Now, in that case, if you acted on it and there was nothing there, there wouldn't be any negative reinforcement. But if you confronted somebody because you could feel they were lying, that would be hard because it would challenge them against you. So
right.
In that case, and this is something that's very important, there have been many occasions when I've known people were lying to me. And in most cases, the person lying did not want to be discovered. Obviously, they wouldn't have been lying. Now, in the professional environment, when someone's lying to you, they have some agenda that they're trying to keep secret from you. And because of the connection that you have when your higher self plugged in, when they're lying, the lie is like blatant in your face. You cannot not see it. And then their true agenda filters into your consciousness, and you know exactly what's going on.
Mm.
And that's
interesting, Maureen. That means that if you are in the corporate world, then your meetings could be very interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Because you always have a way of tapping in to the, I wouldn't say, well, the
yes,
first word
absolutely.
That came to me, tapping into you, to the truth, right? You're tapping into the truth of what's going on around the table without anybody telling you.
That's right. This is the ability, so you get this idea. Now, the first thing that happens in the early stages of your higher self-development, after you go past your 6 weeks, you get this idea that moves into your head. You get a very strong sense that there's something here that's trying to be hidden, and you're very conscious of the fact that there's a lie going on or some untruth or some cover-up of some sort. And then you have this awareness, okay, there's something going on. What is it? And then what happens is the information comes in. So let's say you are told something about a situation,
mm-hmm.
and then it gets even like bells and whistles are going off and you really get the flares coming up. And then you can ask your higher self.
Mm-hmm.
Higher self, is this so? Is what I just heard accurate according to this
mm-hmm.
reality? In one case, I had a whole class that was being trained in this work and they were all doing very well. And at lunch we were kind of just joking around and being very pleasant with one another. And I said, ask your higher self if it's true that so-and-so has been killed, and was referring to a political figure that, you know, there's a big announcement about this person dying. And everyone got no. And they all, I said, so what did you get? You know, and I went around the room. What did you get? What did you get? And they were just like standing around in the kitchen. We weren't even practicing like with a passion or effort or anything. We'd just learned this technique. We'd practice it for a day. But we were also doing the Merkaba, which helps greatly to, you know, magnify that accuracy. So everybody got the same answer, and the answer was no. And the last person was somebody who was connected in a way to the, I'll call it the insiders group. And the look on that person's face, because he got the same answer, no. And you could see the wheels turning, like, how can that be? I know for a fact that that's true. How can that be? And his whole belief system got, like, shattered in a moment, because here he had learned a new technique that was highly accurate. He knew the, I'll call it the infrastructure that he was connected with, and trusted that, and now his own wisdom is telling him the exact opposite. And if he had been wrong, he would have been happier, because if everyone else had gotten no, and he got yes, it would have felt better. But because he was authentic in the moment, doing the practice of checking in, and then realized, oh my gosh, I just got the answer that conflicts with everything I thought I believed in, it was astounding to see the look on that person's face.
Yes.
I will tell you that I want to tell you two stories. One has to do with another corporate story where a man who is a buyer for the world's second largest retailer, and he was in China, and in the buying expedition, you have to look at each piece and sign off on it.
Mm-hmm.
And if it's not perfect, then you don't sign off on it, because later they can say, well, it's just like the one sample that you took home. Take a look. So he said that the table leg is not right, and it was maybe 8 feet across the room from where he was standing. And they said, what's wrong with it? And he said, it's shorter than the rest of them. And they said, no, it's not. And he said, yeah, it is. It's definitely shorter. And they said, no, it's not. And so then he asked his higher self, and his higher self confirmed it. Then he asked his higher self, how much shorter is it? And his higher self told him a half an inch. So he said, get a ruler. I think he said, it's a half an inch too short. And these people were like aghast and beside themselves, because they said, how could you know that from that distance?
Mm-hmm.
And all I could do is laugh, because when he retells the story, it just tickles him. Because he's using this ability with high precision. There was a time, there have been times, both me and lots of other people, where we were given very clear direction. You know, like, I'm ready to buy a new car, or I'm ready to move into a new apartment, or whatever it is. And we're told to buy something bigger or better than what we thought we were going to get. You know, you're looking at two bedrooms and you're being told to buy to move into a three-bedroom, or you're looking at, you know, nice Toyotas, and you're being told you're buying a BMW. And you think, how can I pull that off? And you get a very clear message, don't worry about it, it's fine. And really? Yes. Really? Yes. So you're able to act, even though you don't know how you're going to pull it off. And on more than, and every single time that I know of clients, and including myself, when we have done that, it has turned out magnificently. Now, another example that's pretty wild is, I was driving down the interstate, and if any of these stories I've already said once, please stop me, because I don't want to repeat myself. Our time is too precious. And I was a semi truck passed me on the interstate. It was late at night. I'm not usually driving at that time of night. Apparently, I was traveling from one city to the next. And as this truck goes by me, my higher self comes in. Again, now this is something that happens after you start using the higher self on a regular basis. Not mm-hmm. during your practice period, but this is what are we going to do now that we have that connection? What are we going to do now that we've accomplished that skill set? And my higher self said, get into his slipstream, which would be the space that's enough behind the truck that the drag of the air movement around behind him pulls you along.
Right.
And I know that that's really bad manners, and I would not be inclined to do that. Plus, I wouldn't be comfortable following that closely on a truck. So I checked in again. Really? Yes. Okay. So here I go, you know, and I'm now behind the truck in his slipstream. Now, pretty soon we come up upon an interchange. I'm moving on to another freeway, but so is he. Am I to stay with him? Yes. So I stayed with him. All of a sudden, he moves to the far right, which means he's now driving at 65 miles an hour or more on the berm. There's no interference. It's possible to do this, but it's not the normal way people drive. So I, you know, again, I'm checking in, and before I can even get the check-in complete, I'm getting told, yes, move. So I move with him. And then from another direction, going probably just as fast, a car comes down that ramp.
Going my.
Way.
Wow.
So it was a very valuable reinforcement mm-hmm. for me mm-hmm. that my higher self is going to look out for me and be proactive.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I want to give you a lovely little metaphor about the mountain. And if I've told this in the last class, please stop me, because, again, I don't want to repeat myself. You can drive your car up a mountain, and as you're going up the mountain, it's a beautiful scenery, and you're on the outside lane, and you get told, pull over, there's a scenic overlook coming up ahead. We want you to take a break. Now, when you get told this, you don't even know there's a scenic overlook, and sure enough, you go around a bend, and there's the sign. You know, and a few feet later, there's the overlook, so you pull into it. Now, in the first version of this story, you don't pull into it, and you keep going. And down the mountain comes a car that goes left of center in front of you. Because you were a little bit aware and you were tuned in, you had slowed down, you had paid attention, and you were able to get out of the way, but that was your lower self telling you to be careful.
Mm-hmm.
It's your higher self that's looking into the field as you're in it and being proactive. So when you're driving up the mountain and you get told, slow down, be careful, you know, it could be dangerous, that's your lower self reading the field.
Mm-hmm.
But when you get told to do something that you don't have any reason to know or understand why, that's your higher self being proactive. Now, mm-hmm. in the second scenario, when you're sitting in the overlook, because your higher self said to pull over, you're in the pattern of listening to your higher self. You can even say, higher self, is that my higher self telling me pull into the overlook? Yes. Okay, so you pull in there. This other car comes down the mountain, goes left of center, and where are you? You're out of harm's way. You're
mm-hmm.
not even in the action.
Mm-hmm.
So in that way, your higher self and you are in a proactive situation, and you are not even in the line of fire.
Mm-hmm.
I typically fly home after a workshop, usually the day after the workshop ends. On one particular time that I was going into New York City, I decided that I would stay an extra day because I had people I wanted to see. I wanted to do some shopping. I wanted to get to some museums. When I went to buy the ticket, I already had a huge class, and I bought the ticket to get into New York, but trying to buy the ticket to come out of New York on the day I wanted, I got a very strong sense I couldn't do it. So then I checked in. What is it that I am to do? And the answer was go straight home. So I bought the earliest ticket I could get on Monday, September 10th, 2001.
Mm-hmm.
The next day, 9/11, mm-hmm. I was in New York City.
Mm-hmm.
So everybody wow. who knew where I was you know, had the sense. And the other thing that happened is once I was home that evening, for whatever reason, I was on the phone with my kids and my relatives and my friends. Practically everybody who was in my inner circle knew exactly where I was when 9/11 happened. And there were like a few people in the workshop who tried to reach me, are you okay? And a few people that knew I was visiting New York and had wanted to connect with me and hadn't really sorted it out because I left early. Oh, and there's one other thing, there's one other really compelling reason why we are being taught to do this work. And that is, you can no longer trust spiritual teachers. Whenever I say this in a crowd, I always get a laugh, and I'm always disappointed if I don't get a big laugh, because I want to be the one to say, that includes me. You can't trust me either. And the reason is, if you have a higher self connection, and I tell you something that's not valid, it's not real, you're going to have all kinds of inner signals going on letting you know. And in the early stages, like you guys both have had happen, the sensations are there. The leaning in that direction is there. You can then ask higher self, is what Maureen St. Germain just said valid for me, or is it true for me at this time? Mm-hmm. And, you know, if you get told no, then you can just dismiss it. Now, mm-hmm. it's a very good reason why this is so important. And there's actually two very good reasons. Number one, we are moving into the age where it is our personal responsibility mm-hmm. to become our own inner guru. And it is our personal responsibility to develop that higher self-connection, because we are becoming the walking, talking, ascended master self.
Mm-hmm.
And the second reason is because there are many false gurus. There are mm-hmm. more false teachers today than there ever were. And some of them are famous, some of them are popular, some of them have huge followings. Now, the fastest way to get someone to believe a lie is to give them four pieces of truth and one lie. And you think to yourself, well, this is true, they've always told me the truth about this, so even though I don't know about this fourth thing, it must be true too, and you swallow it.
Mm-hmm.
This allows you to study with somebody who's not a true teacher.
Mm-hmm.
Because you can gain from what they're willing to share without falling into their trap.
Mm-hmm.
You can study with someone for 5 months, and maybe it's a 6-month course. And mm-hmm. you get told at 5 months, okay, you're done, drop out. So you do. And you do so without concern. It's very interesting.
Yeah, I'm just soaking in everything that you're saying. Wow. Maureen, would you take a moment to tell me what's the difference between, let's say, your intuition? I know it's coming from the gut, and so it's the lower body, versus your higher self. So, they feel similar, but I get the impression that the higher self is more precise.
Yes, and what I want to say is, for many people, they use the word intuition much like we use the word Kleenex. You might be referring to the actual brand, or you might be referring to any facial tissue that you blow your nose on.
Mm-hmm.
So when people say my intuition or my guidance was this, they might be referring to the higher self. But when it's like when they say, you know, only specify this brand and you'll get exactly what you want. You know, like for some pieces of equipment, you cannot buy, like in printers, sometimes you just can't buy the copycat printer cartridge. It just doesn't work properly. And so you end up buying only the brand that goes with the brand of printer. So what I will say to you is, the word intuition is a more of a generic word, and it depends upon how the person is using it. But the higher self is a very precise definition. I also want to say that your lower self is your friend. Your slower mm-hmm. talk gives you good information, but it is limited in scope, mm-hmm. meaning it doesn't have the full data set. So in the story around the, you know, driving on the mountain, you have a limited data set. It doesn't feel safe here right now.
Mm-hmm.
But it doesn't have the bigger data set of just get off the highway.
So let me share an example, because I always think that it's my intuition that is kicking in, and you're making me think now that maybe it's not my intuition. Well, my intuition is it's my higher self.
Yeah.
I was asked by a friend if I wanted to attend a particular, wasn't a workshop, but it was a 3-day weekend conference. And so the minute the person said the name, I don't know the person. I've never been in front of them, you know, which you would consider one of those gurus. But all of a sudden, there was this, in my gut, there was a feeling, it was almost like saying, no, Angie, no. And I go, I can't not listen to this. And it was hard. And so then I said to myself, okay, I'm not making any decision right now. I'm looking into this. And let's see what else it's going to say to me. And for the next 4 hours, that no was becoming louder and louder, but it felt more like a pain in my stomach. And then I said, okay, if this is this loud, it means no. The minute I decided that it was no, it went away. So to me, I always think that that's my intuition.
Right.
Talking
to me. In a global sense, yeah. But, you know,
okay.
It's like... those of us who study language
mm-hmm.
or speak more than one language, you have
right.
the benefit of knowing that certain words are alike in the Romance languages, but they don't always mean the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like library in French and bookstore are like
yes.
the opposite of each other in
right.
those two languages. And you have to remember that as you speak in one language or the other, if you don't have them as, you know, comfortable under your, you know, your comfort level. So I think that part of what is happening for everyone is the word intuition is becoming a common word, like yoga is a common word.
Mm-hmm.
You know, 20 years ago, 30 years ago, doing yoga, you know, was a fringe thing. But today, there's all kinds of research that says of the 55-plus generation, 55 to 70% of those people are doing yoga at least once a week.
Mm-hmm.
And what that tells us is that yoga isn't a religion and it isn't a way of life. It is simply a way of exercising.
Mm-hmm.
So the term intuition is becoming common so that people can begin to discuss the fact that they're using their inner guidance system to help them find their way.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the reason why I teach a very precise thing about the higher self is because over the years, I've come to recognize that if you will take the time to specify my higher self and you see it as the version of you that's got all of your accomplishments and
mm-hmm.
all of your connections with God and heaven, and it's, you can plug into it. It's a one-way
yes.
door. You have to open it. When you get that in your awareness, then you begin to realize, my higher self is my resource. Now, it is also true that many people have very good lower self energy. And it is also true that you were reading the field so well at the lower self level that it didn't even have to be your higher self. So
mm-hmm.
one of the things that I encourage people to do, when you look at the past, try to look at it without judgment.
Mm-hmm.
Try to look at it without defining it or labeling it. In other words, instead of trying to understand or know what happened in the past, say, that's very interesting. That may have been my higher self. That may have been my lower self. But it doesn't matter because now I'm on this very specific thing, very specific pattern, to have such a powerful higher self connection that it becomes irrefutable, it becomes 100% accurate, and it allows me to know what I need to know before I know it, before I can know it any other way.
Mm-hmm.
So let me just read to you something from my book called Beyond the Flower of Life on intuition. And, mm-hmm. you know, it says, how do you know the difference between intuition and your higher self? And the higher self is an aspect of you that is fully connected to God. As such, it is capable of serving as the mediator between you and God. Most of us can only hold a certain percentage of our connection to God while remaining in a physical body. We are all headed towards full integration or enlightenment. The saints and masters achieved full connection, and so can you. For the moment, please understand that the way to complete awareness or enlightenment is through your higher self. Now, there are many ways to get this connection to your higher self. Doing the Merkaba and using the higher self connection is one way. Now, jumping into the section a couple of pages later. By the way, if you have this book, it's on page 47 through 50. And then jumping to the section about, well, yes, what about intuition? Information received intuitively can be coming from any of the above places, meaning your higher self, your angels, your guides, and your lower
mm-hmm.
self. Okay? Your intuition
mm-hmm.
could also be coming from external entities or energies that are not authentically you. Other
mm-hmm.
other people's thoughts can enter your head, especially if they are thinking about you while you are thinking about them. Many couples
mm-hmm.
experience this phenomenon as their normal. Information coming in from your lower self may feel like it's coming from intuition. It could come in as desires. It may also represent the little girl in you that wants something you've long forgotten about it. And then it goes on to talk about the angels and the guides. And the angels and guides are our friends and helpers. And they want you to get your higher self connection. So they're not going to go away if you start talking to your higher self. It's not like there's a competition here. And it's not like your guides are going to step back. They're simply wanting you to have that level of connection because that allows you to become your divine self. Because that's what we're doing. We're not going to all disappear off the planet. We're going to become our Ascended Master selves and live on the planet.
Mm-hmm. Maureen, I just realized that the higher self has our blueprint. It knows why we came here, and when it answers yes or no, it's because it's guiding us towards what we promised ourselves that we were going to do here. Am I correct?
That's right. Yes,
yeah.
Absolutely correct. Now, taking that one step further, at any given time, there are five possible choices that turn up for every decision you make. Two below grade, two above grade, and one divine choice. So sometimes your higher self will select or give you the choice that you don't want to do. It doesn't please you at all. And I'll give you an example. One of my students who follows this very well, another busy executive, was very tired from a very busy week. He was holding tickets to travel to another city. He was supposed to attend a party with a good friend. He was really too tired to go. He was going to bail and cancel out. But he called me and he said, I keep checking in, and my higher self says I'm supposed to go. I really don't want to go. Can you please check in and double check? And I did, and I got you're supposed to go. And so he went. And it turns out that he met people from the city he was living in, even though he wasn't in the city he was living in when he met them. So these
wow.
people were also visitors into this city, and those people have literally helped him transform his life in a
oh
way that was like guardian angels helping him. And he
mm-hmm.
wouldn't even have met those people if it hadn't been for him showing up at that event, even though he didn't feel like it. And there
right.
are times when I don't feel like doing something, and I have checked in and have asked, you know, how can this be? I don't want to, blah, blah, blah. And I've been told by my higher self, we've got you covered. Don't worry about it.
Mm-hmm.
That's really hilarious, especially when it turns out very, very well, and you have to turn around and go, that is so funny. That is so funny. It's amazing.
Mm-hmm. May I say something else? You've
yeah.
said this twice in two different occasions. We've got it covered. We've got your back. So in the first time, you talked about the wanting to purchase the Toyota, and no, you're directed towards going towards the BMW, and it says, don't worry, don't worry. So at that point, we're just supposed to let it, just release that worry about how it's going to happen, and the higher self just knows that it's there waiting for you, and whatever it takes to make that happen is going to be there?
Yes.
Is that what that what you mean by?
That's exactly right. Mm-hmm. That's exactly right. Now, at this point, what happens with some of us, and I include myself in that, is we make a contract at some point down the road. You know, the first stage, stage one is the stage you're at right now. You're
right.
In the practice. You're doing it for 6 weeks. After you cross that line of 6 weeks and you're allowed to ask any question you want, it will become very evident how beneficial it is. Right now, on the practice stage, your job isn't to keep track. Your job is to practice.
Right.
That familiarity, you know, it's like crossing that threshold and speaking another language. The hardest thing in the world isn't to learn the vocab or the words. It's to be willing to let your voice be heard.
Yes.
Practice is phase one. Phase two is asking important questions and then being willing to follow through. Now, in phase one, you are not allowed to deviate. If you ask your higher self, should I wear the brown shoes? And your higher self says yes. And then you look at yourself in the mirror and you go, oh, that looks terrible. You still wear them. You still wear them. One of the funniest stories I heard was from a woman who was a pipe fitter. And it was a very cold day, and she wanted to wear her nice warm socks, but it was, they were white. And she checked in, because she was, you know, kind of doing her practice, and she wanted to do unimportant things. So she asked, can I wear my higher self, can I wear my nice warm socks? These white ones? No. Really? No. Okay. So she put on different socks. And on that particular day, the mud was so bad that when she stepped in and made the next step, her boot got left behind and her foot went in the mud. And her favorite socks would not have ever come clean, because when you're at camp like that, you know, you don't get washers and all that stuff. It would have sat there for a week. Okay? So now let's keep going with this. So phase two is the important stuff. You know, like, I really care about those socks. I really care about my feet being warm, but still being told no. And then you get the benefit on the other side. Okay. Mm-hmm. Then phase three is when you're ready. You have a ceremony, and you make a commitment to always follow your higher self.
Wow.
And that's pretty cool, because what it means is that your higher self isn't running the show. You're still running the show, because you still have to ask your higher self. You know, like, if you want to do something that you know is not cool, you know, whatever it is, you know it's not cool. You want to do it. You just do it. If you ask your higher self, is it my highest best good to do this? And your higher self says no, then you dare not.
Mm-hmm.
You dare not. And, you know, if it's an unimportant thing, the joke that I will make with you is you'll be sorry. And I mean that in a very tongue-in-cheek way. One time I wanted to see some friends, and they'd already made a plan to go to an art film. And they said, well, we're having a date night. You can come with us, but we're not changing our plan. And I checked in. Higher self, should I go with them to this movie? I got no. And I thought, I really want to see him. I haven't seen him in a long, long time. I'm not going to be back in New York, blah, blah, blah. So I went. This is before I made that level of commitment.
Mm-hmm.
And turned out the movie was a real dog. And I'm thinking through the whole movie, oh, I'd really like to leave. But I don't want to hurt my friend's feelings, so I better not. We come out, and I say, so what did you think of the movie? And they said, oh, we didn't like it. And I said, me neither. I thought it was so bad I wanted to leave. And they looked at me, and they said, we did too, but we didn't want to hurt your feelings. So I was sorry. And that's the only time that I didn't follow my higher self.